Blog Talk Radio.
My heart started pounding as I listened to what was said, 'cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall what I was taught in the 34th chapter of the Book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, He'll deliver us from them all. My trust still lies in You. I know You're gonna bring me through this trial, but I'm not ending now. I know it's gonna get hard sometimes, and when those moments come, I'll rest within Your arms and give You praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up my praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praying. Book of James, the proud faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise Him along the way to my breakthrough.
About
Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael, family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahweh Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll ask you to send me a thumbs up, let me know whether or not you can hear me clearly. Thank you. Like always, I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as I come before thee, I ask of thee to forgive me for the sins that I've committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. And I ask thee to forgive me. I also ask those in whom know me and fellowship with me, if I've offended you in any way, please forgive me for the sins I've committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. And just bring it to my attention. That way we can rectify those issues. Father, I thank you for the health and strength that you've given me and given my friends and family and protecting us from dangers seen and unseen. As we enter into the season, Father, we ask for thee to continue to cleanse us, continue to refresh us, continue to open our minds to understand what this season is all about, what you're all about, and what your word is all about. For the more we understand and know about you, O Father, through thy Son, Yahushua, the closer we come to you, the easier it is for us to do the things that you would like for us to do. Father, we thank you once again for giving us this opportunity to come and sup with you on the day in which you set aside to sup with us. And we thank you for entering into our homes on this day and sharing your love with us. Hallelujah. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray on behalf of my household and Israel at this time. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat Shalom there, friends and family and listening audience. Like I said, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? This is the third installment. And we started off with to listen or not to listen. And we started off in Jonah or Jonah. And one of the things that we learned in regards to Jonah was Jonah had issues with the task in which he was given to do. And he thought that he could duck it or run away from it. But the only thing it did was follow them. Understand that Yahweh is always around. Yahweh is there with you. For he has chosen us to do a thing. And because he has chosen us, he's right there with us to ensure that we do the thing that he wants us to do. And one of the things that we have to also understand and know that because he has chosen us, we may not know what his task for us to do is. But he understands and puts us in situations where we have a choice to do it or not to do it. But if it's according to his purpose, he will strongly suggest and insist and assist you in doing the thing that he needs you to do. For sometimes the things that he needs us to do is not really for us, it's for someone else. And that goes to the second lesson that we had. Selfishness or being selfless. And what is the reward? You know, when we are not focusing on ourselves and focusing on others and others' well-being, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. And so now we're going to deal with another aspect, helping someone else. And this lesson is going to be on caring. And the title of this one is To Care or Not to Care, What is the Purpose? And one of the things that, you know, came to my mind, you know, in reflecting on myself, you know, when you're showing actions of caring, you're actually looking to assist someone else. You're looking beyond yourself, and you're humbling yourself to assist someone in a situation. And the more we do this, the more we humble ourselves to others, the more we become like that servant of Yahushua. But one of the things that we learned in regards to Yahushua was he did not come here to be served. He came here to serve. Serve humanity. For we understand what he did and when he laid his life down, when he took on the sins of the world, both past, present, and future, so that humanity would have an opportunity to meet the Father. Things we're going to do, we're going to define the word caring, care. And I looked it up in one of the etymology dictionaries, and a couple definitions jumped out at me. One was grieve, one was concern, one was grief, and one was cry out. And these were different terms or different definitions, because the term care is a verb. So these different things are actions that we as individuals do when we're showing acts of, when we're caring for someone. I looked up the word care up again in a regular dictionary. I think it was the Webster's Dictionary online, I believe it was, and the definition that it gave for the term care is feel concern or interest, attach importance to something, look after and provide for the need of. So when we're caring for someone or something, we're providing for them. We're providing a need. And then we're attaching, you know, because we feel, you know, we're attaching an importance to something. You know, is it the something or is it the person? Because when we show care toward a person, we care about their well-being. And so we look to the needs to assist them. Through our humility, we are humbling ourselves. And we're becoming selfless. And see, these are different aspects of Yahushua, because as we read the narrative of him being here on earth, he showed care and concern for so, so many people. And he wants us to do the same thing. So we have to put in our minds that we really, really want to be in the image of Yahushua. Like one of the things that we learn in regards to the scriptures or in the testimony of Yahweh Elohim is that he said, put my laws on the forefront of your mind. And if we're constantly having his laws on the forefront of our mind, then we're constantly having him on the forefront of our mind. And then when we understand that that word that is on the forefront of our mind took on flesh and walked amongst us, then we've seen the actions of that word in play. And then we, as we come to know more and more about that word, the more and more we come to learn about Yahushua, these things are supposed to be ingrained in us, because that's what Yahweh said that he would do. He said, I will put my laws on your inward parts and cause you to keep them. Yahushua said the same thing. He said, it must be expedient that I must go so that I can send a comforter back to you. What is that comforter? That is his spirit. That spirit is linking up with that word that is in you, causing you to be one with him, causing you to be one with the word spiritually. And through your actions and deeds, then you become connected physically. So your talk and your walk are the same. And these are what we're trying to do when we implement or show the fruit of the Spirit. Because these are the different characteristics, or some of the characteristics. I'm not going to limit it to those particular things. But these are the characteristics that he wanted us to focus on. Then I looked the word up. I looked the word up, beseech. And this word came from when I was reading in the scripture in regards to Moses, and he said he besought Yahweh. And this word, and the term that it used for besought was beseech in the Hebrew. And it means, and one of the definitions was to, you know, for kala, which is beseech, is to put grief, to grieve. And so when we read the context in which this particular word is used, then we understand why was Moshe or Moses showing grief, or it grieved him. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians before we get into the lesson for today. And be mindful of these scriptures that I'm going to read in regards to the lesson of the day. And bear in mind the title, to care or not to care. Because each person or each narrative that's going to be read, someone cared about something. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, and it reads, For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And this is Paul talking about how, you know, he became a servant to men. He didn't have to be, but he did. Because it was he was letting people know or demonstrating the character of Yahushua to other people. And he also was bringing them to the knowledge of Yahushua and the character of Yahushua. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, and it reads, let no man seek his own, but every man another's good. See, when we seek another person's good, we're showing a level of caring for him because we're not being selfish. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 15. And it reads, for we preach not ourselves, but Yahushua, the Messiah, and ourselves your servant for Yahushua's sake. Verse 15, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many increase to the glory of the Father. See, understanding that when we show the character of Yahushua and we share it with other people and demonstrate that character of Yahushua, we're increasing or bringing them closer to the glory of the Father. From here, we're going to go to Exodus. I'm going to read chapter 32, verse 7 to 14. And when we read this, Moses, from, when I read it, to me, it seemed like Moses was concerned about Yahweh's reputation. Verse 7, and he reads, "And Yahweh said unto Moses, Go, get you down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I command them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sanctified, and have sacrificed to it, and said, These are our gods of Israel, who have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And Yahweh said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let us alone, that my wrath may grow hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And Moses besought Yahweh, his mighty one, and said, Yahweh, why does your wrath grow hot against your people, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? I'm going to stop here for a minute, because when we read in the beginning of it, Yahweh is calling this people Moses' people. And then Moses brings it back to his attention that, no, these are not my people. These are your people. So so Moses is bringing it back to his attention, because he didn't want to claim them no more, because they were so stiff-necked and hard-headed. Verse 12. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and change from this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said unto them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all the lands that I have spoken of will I give unto your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And Yahweh turned from the evil which he thought to do unto his people. We look at this. Moses had a concern for Yahweh. He had a concern. He had great care for him, because he didn't want his name to be made a mockery of. And so he discussed with him and spoke with him, and he changed his mind. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 to 20. And David therefore besought Yahweh for the child. And David fasted and went in and laid all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of Yahweh and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he as they set food before him, and he did eat. So right here, the Father took me here, because what is happening? David is grieved Why? Because the father, Yahweh, had told him, he wasn't going to kill him, but he was going to kill his son. Because if you're familiar with this particular account, David had laid with Uriah's wife, and he gave birth, and the child became sick, and David felt as though he could go to the father and pray to the father, and the father would not take the life of the child. But we understand from the narrative that this was a punishment, because as we know, the wages of sin is death. But the father didn't take his life, but he took the life of the child. And this is just showing that David, even though he knew he was wrong, but he still had concern for his child. And he went before the father and asked the father to spare his child's life. But as we know from the narrative, he didn't spare the child's life. From here, we're going to go to Ezra, chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, and it reads, "Now when Ezra was praying, and when he had confessed, weeping, and casting himself down before the house of Yahweh, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept bitterly. And Shekinah. I'm going to start verse 2 again. "And Shekinah, the son of Yahel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our mighty one, and have married foreign wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore, let us make covenants with our mighty one to put away all these wives, and such are as born of them, according to the counsel of my master, and of those that tremble at the commandments of the mighty one. And let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongs unto you. We also will be with you. Be of good courage and do it." Father took me here because what is happening? Ezra is showing concern for the people, and he's praying for them because of the sin that they have done. You know, because at times what happens? The leaders of Israel go before the Father because they care about the people. And they understand that the people sometimes need some assistance and need help. And prayer works. But like we said earlier, we have to understand and know what the will of the Father is. Because the will of the Father will be done. But the prayer of the saints can intercede at times. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And it reads, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many." From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read verse 8 and verse 11. And it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways Let me start over. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. So shall, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. From here, we're going to go to Luke chapter 23. Verse 34 and 35. And it reads, this said Yahushua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted his clothes and cast lots. And the people stood, behold, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah, the chosen of the Father. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 19, verse 28 and 30, and verse 30. And it reads, after this, Yahushua, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. When Yahushua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So the Father led me to show that Yahushua cared for humanity to the point where he gave up his life for humanity's sake. And he prayed to the Father to forgive those who were there. He forget to forgive humanity. Because when we sit down and we do a study on people that were there when he gave up his spirit, it was from all three sons, Ham, Shem, and Yafet, the nation, the world, Israel, and the stranger was there to witness this. The moment we're going to go through tonight is Habakkuk. And what did he do? He went before the Father because he had concerns for the people. And he went before the Father and he questioned the Father. And the Father answered him back. So we're going to go through, I'm going to read Habakkuk, consider the scriptures that were read earlier, and see how they mingle. Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1. I am Habakkuk, the prophet, and this is the message that Yahweh gave me. O Yahweh, how long must I beg for your help before you listen? How long before you save us? How long before you save us from all this violence? Why do you make me watch such terrible injustice? Why do you allow violence, lawlessness, crime, and cruelty to spread everywhere? Laws cannot be enforced. Justice is always the loser. Criminals crowd out honest people and twist the laws around. In this particular translation, it has Habakkuk complaining to Yahweh. Now it says, Yahweh answers Habakkuk. Verse 5, look and be amazed at what's happening among the nations. Even you were told you would never believe what was taking place now. I am sending the Babylonians. They are fierce and cruel, marching across the land, conquering cities and towns. How fearsome and frightening. Their only law and rules are the ones they make up. Their cavalry troops are faster than leopard wolves hunting at sunset, and swifter than hungry eagles suddenly swooping down. They are eager to destroy, and they gather captives like a handful of sand. They make fun of rulers and laugh at fortresses while building dirt mounds so they can capture cities. Then suddenly they disappear like a gust of wind. Those sinful people who worship their own strength. Habakkuk complains again. Yahweh, my mighty one, mighty rock, you are eternal, and we are safe from death. You are using those Babylonians to judge and punish others, but you can't stand sin or wrong. So don't sit by in silence while they gobble up people who are better than they are. The people you put on this earth are like fish or reptiles without a leader. Then an enemy comes along and take them captive with hooks and nets. It makes him so happy that the offering sacrifices his fish nets because they make him rich and provide choice food. Will he keep hauling in the net and destroy his nation without showing mercy? Chapter 2. I will take my post. I will position myself on the fortress to see what Yahweh says to me and how he will respond to my complaint. Yahweh responds. Then Yahweh answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It testifies to the end. It does not deceive. If it delays, wait for it. For it is surely coming. It will not be late. So people's desires are truly atrocious. They do not do the right thing, but the righteous people will live honestly. Moreover, wine portrays an arrogant man. He doesn't rest. He opens his jaws like the grave, like death. He is never satisfied. He gathers all nations to himself and collects all people for himself. Everyone tell parables about him or mocking poems concerning him. They will say, doom to the one who multiplies what doesn't belong to him, and who increases his own burdens. How long? Won't they suddenly rise up to bite you? Those who frighten you will awaken you, will become plunder for them. Since you yourself have plundered many nations, all the rest of the people will plunder you because of the human bloodshed and the violence done to the earth, to every village, and to all its inhabitants. Doom to the one making evil gains for his own house, for putting his own neck up high, for delivering himself from the grasp of calamity. You playing shame for your own house, cutting off many people, and sinning against your own life. A stone will cry out from a village wall, and a tree branch will respond. Pity the one building a city with bloodshed and founding a village with injustice. Look, is not this from Yahweh of heavenly forces? People grow weary from making just enough fire. Nations become tired for nothing. But the land will be full of the knowledge of Yahweh's glory. Just as water covers the sea, doom to the one who makes his companions drunk. Pour out your wrath in order to see them naked. You have drunk your full of dishonor rather than glory. So drink the stagger. So drink and stagger the cup of Yahweh's strong hand will come around to you. Disgrace will engulf you because of the violence done to Lebanon. He will overwhelm you. The destruction of animals will terrify you, as will human bloodshed and violence throughout the land, the villages and their inhabitants. Of what value is an idol when its potter carved it? Or what cast image that has been shaped? Is it a teacher of lies? For the potter trusts the potter, though it is incapable of speaking. Doomed to the one saying to this to the tree, wake up or get up, to the silent stone. Does it teach? Look, it is overlaid with gold and silver, but there is no breath within it. But Yahweh is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. The prayer Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Eginil, Yahweh, I have heard your reputation. I have seen your work. Over time, revive it. Over time, make it known. Though angry, remember compassion. Yahweh comes from Timnah, and the Holy One from the mountain of Paran, Salah. His majesty covers the heavens, and his praise fills the earth. His radiance is like the sunlight, with rays flashing from his hand. That is the hidden place of his power. Pestilence walk in front of him. Plagues march at his feet. He stops and measures the earth. He looks and set out against the nation. The everlasting mountain collapse. The eternal hills bow down. The eternal paths belong to him. I saw the tent of Cushan under duress. The curtains of the land of Midian were quaking. Was Yahweh raging against the rivers? Or was the anger directed against the rivers? Or was your fierce fury directed against the sea? When you rode on the horses or rode your chariots to victory, rise up, your empty bowls. Raise up your empty bowls. Utter curses. With rivers you split open the earth. The mountains see you and wither. The flood of water rushes through. The deep utter its voice. It raises its hand aloft. Sun and moon stand still above with the light of your arrows shoot. When the light of your arrows shoot, your spear at the flashing of lightning. In fury, you stride the earth. Anger, you tread the nations. You go out and you save your people. For the salvation of your anointed, you smash the heads of the house of the wickedness, laying bare the foundation upon the next Salah. You pierce the head of his warrior with his own spear. His warrior are driven off, those who take delight in oppressing us, those who take pleasure in secretly devouring the poor. You make your horses tread on the sea. Turbulent water foam. I hear, and my insides tremble. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. I tremble while I stand, while I wait for the days of distress to come against the people who attack us. The though the fig tree does not bloom and bears no produce on the vine, though the olive crop withers and the fields do not provide food, though the sheep are cut off from the pen and there's no cattle in the stalls, I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will rejoice in Yahweh in my deliverance. Yahweh, my Elohim, is my strength. He will set my feet, will let me walk upon the heights. Amen. So one of the things we have to understand in reading Habakkuk, talking about the violence that comes upon Israel, the violence that Israel bring upon itself. But he tells us to continue to have faith in him and be content in him, because with him, we can overcome all enemies. All enemies. So it's by our faith that we can endure. So we pay attention to what's going on now. We have a lot of violence going on in our city. We have a lot of violence going on throughout this world. We have a lot of lawlessness going throughout this world. Why? Because people are becoming their own gods. People are getting into more and more idolatry. A lot of the old things are starting to come back up again. Or not really come back up again. Yeah, being able to be out in the open. The different things that people kept behind closed doors, now they can do out in the open. And we live in a society that's accepting these things. And the people of the book, or the people of Israel, the true Israel, the numbers are dwindling. They're dwindling. Why? Because those who are of Israel are doing the same thing that our forefathers did in the past. They got caught up in the things of the world. So family, be mindful. Stand firm on that chief cornerstone, Yahushua. Demonstrate those characters, that fruit of that spirit. Gird yourself up with that full armor. And continue to be that light for those that are in darkness. But we also want to give people an opportunity to know who Yah is, to know who Yahweh is, know who Yahushua is, because we've learned that the glory is to meet with the Father. And as that light engulfs us, we can partake of the light of the Father. Because as now, what are we doing? We're getting rid of those things that are not of the Father. We're getting rid of those sinful nature, being anew. So family, be encouraged. We walk by faith. Walk by faith. Faith in Yahushua. Faith in what he has done for us, to humanity. And understand that we have been chosen. Do a work for Yahushua. So we have to show care and concern for everyone. Because he did the same thing for us. As we learn, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So we also have to go through a level of suffering also. So be encouraged, family, for the Father will encourage us. The Father will strengthen us. through his son, Yahushua, through his word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we come before thee, we ask for thee to forgive us for the sins we committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. We ask for thee, O Father, to grant us a peaceful slumber. We ask for thee, O Father, to strengthen us to stand on your word in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind. Being girded in your truth and in your ways. Strengthen us spiritually, Father, so that our minds are stronger than our physical will, so that we can overcome this physical will and be in your kingdom. Father, we thank you for suffering with us at this moment. We thank you, Yahushua, for standing up for us this moment. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your spirit. And we thank you for your care, O Father. May we continue to show that we care for Yahushua and listening and paying attention to the example that he has shown and laying our life down for his sake. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel. May you have a peaceful slumber. And may the light of Yahushua continue to grow in you.
I've seen the lightning. Wow.